Back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, chatting here today with Riley County and Blue Valley Schools officials, Superintendents Cliff Williams and John Cox, and USD 378 Board Vice President Nathan Mead joining us here this morning. Before we move on, I just want to make sure we covered everything as far as the bond that you guys wanted to cover here this morning.
I believe we did, but while we have Mr. Mead here, I'd like to recognize all board members, and I know I speak for John. January is Board of Education Board Member Appreciation Month, and so we'd like to thank all those individuals that dedicate their time and their service to the students, the staff, and the community. They do a lot of behind-the-scenes work that I don't think a lot of folks realize the amount of time they put in. You know, like Nathan coming here to the radio show, we've got committees that meet throughout the month. Many times, especially with the bond, we were meeting almost every other week, if not weekly, for multiple hours. And so we couldn't do it without these groups that dedicate their time to do that. And so we'd like to reach out and thank all of them from both our districts. And we hope the others will reach out and say, you know, thank you for what they do for students.
I would agree with that. You know, sometimes it's a thankless job, but they do work hard behind the scenes, supporting the kids and supporting the teachers. So thank you all for everything that you do.
I remember the last time I went up to USD 384 almost a year ago. It was right before the pandemic set in. That's when I think John was hired. And, you know, the board members there are so welcoming, you know, and it just shows you how you know, they're just regular people and they've got tough decisions to make. And we've seen that here this year, probably more so than any.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. You know, we entered this unprecedented time and, you know, they were right in the trenches with all of us, making the tough decisions on, you know, closing school, changing how our learning format. And it was tough for people to understand and, you know, tough for them to accept. And they stayed right there with us. And we can't just thank them enough.
Absolutely. Well, you have some legislative items here of note. Cliff, you want to talk about that in terms of Spark and ESSER funds?
Yes, I appreciate that, Brandon. You know, as we enter the legislative session, they've been in for about 2 weeks. One of the topics that always comes up is funding schools. You know, out of the state's budget, about 50% of that goes to all the school districts throughout the state. It takes a lot to run these nonprofit organizations. And along the way, with the COVID virus, that we did receive some additional funding, particularly Sparks funds that came from our county. And they dispersed that out based off of our enrollment. We also received some funds called the ESSER funds, sometimes called the CARES funds. We're also looking at maybe an additional amount coming, and we just want our listeners to know that, you know, we're very appreciative of that and being very good stewards of that funds. The majority of all of ours, I think I can speak for a lot of districts, went to PPE, you know, from hand sanitizer to buying masks, disinfecting chemicals and materials. We bought fogging machines to help disinfect. Our particular board hired an extra custodian because there was so much extra demand to be able to make sure things that are clean, thermometers, signage. We bought a lot of technology when we were all in the remote world. We still do have remote students at our districts, and so it took quite a bit to be able to learn in that different format. We had to train our staff, and those are just touching on a few of them, but I think there's been some dialogue out there, Brandon, that would these funds replace our regular base aid? And we sure are going to hope that they do not. We received about $170,000 between those two grants, and we have spent that and then some in order just to keep our doors open. And so we wanted to be upfront with our listeners that while we greatly appreciate that opportunity to be able to have that. We couldn't have done it without it. We would have. We would have spent down some of our reserves to be able to do that. But greatly appreciated that we had those funds. And moving forward, if we would get an ESSER 2, I know our particular school district, our board's going to talk about that tonight in a special board meeting. We've been researching that. Right now, it's just a group of estimates. But we know that we have concerns about our students and looking at maybe some summer school, after school programs, remediation to make sure that those kids, if they've lost, that we can get them back on track. That's always our number one focus. And so those are some future needs that we have.
But, you know, you guys are in a tough position here as school districts because you receive a certain amount of funding here from the state. I'm curious, it sounds like this is a common theme with a lot of districts, that just because money's tight doesn't mean that you can't stop spending. You got needs you have in both districts.
That's exactly right. We have to get creative sometimes on how we get things accomplished. You know, there's a lot of resources available with PPE. We've spent a considerable amount of money making sure that our staff and our students are safe on all of the same things that Cliff has spent in his district. You know, there are other things. We received approximately $89,000 between the two funds, and we've upgraded our technology to make sure that all students have technology available. We've made sure that we have access to outside classroom areas when the weather permits, just to spread kids out. You know, the needs are there, and without this particular funding, it would be very challenging for us to meet those needs, being a smaller district with limited amounts of funds. So we would have made it happen, but this has been a godsend for us, simply because it's allowed us to make decisions a little more easily and make sure that we had what the kids and the staff need for safe schools.
All right. Well, anything else of note here this morning, either one of you want to pass along?
No, I just want to make sure and thank the parents in the Blue Valley community for being patient as we navigated our first snow experience together. In some ways, making snow decisions has been more challenging than making COVID decisions, because there's so many uncertainties and beyond what people believe of having a crystal ball and being able to foretell the future of weather. We just don't have that. So we're always making decisions based on the information available. And most of the time, we're right. Sometimes we're wrong. But for the last couple of days, we've been right on the decisions that we've made. So I just wanted to say thank you to our communities for having the patience and grace for us and with us when making these difficult decisions, because we do know how it impacts the communities and the families.
I'd echo John's words there. It is a tough decision, and there's a lot of resources that plug into that before we make those tough decisions. A lot of time we're making those at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we do appreciate that. I'd also like to extend a special thank you to Nathan Mead, our board member, for being here today and helping our patrons understand what we have going on in USD 378.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when I'll piggyback off the snow comment here, because, you know, I went home this weekend Friday, and then I saw the forecast kind of changing over the weekend, and I think I reached out to you guys and some of the other superintendents, like, hey, just FYI, we haven't had to do this yet, but here's where the information goes, because we have to plan for that as well here at the radio station to get those announcements out to the public. And it is, and everybody was organized. We got it out. I think we got the information out, even though it wasn't as bad yesterday, but it's good to have that information in a timely manner.
And we appreciate that. K-Man's been great partners for our school districts, and believe it or not, they are up at 4 o'clock when we are and answering. I know Brandon, I was shocked at how fast he responded to me. So I'm sure he'll sleep good tonight.
Yep, absolutely. Well, guys, it's a pleasure to have you all on here this morning. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk again next month.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon. Thanks, Brandon.
All right. We'll continue on with In Focus after this. Bill Kennedy is going to join us as we're going to talk Super Bowl for the Flint Hills Breadbasket next on K-Man.